Now we'll get back on the air. A few little problems here at the station, but I think we're okay. Thanks a lot. I had some help here, and I'll say thank you, and I'm on my own, right? Okay. There are new books coming out every week, and I can't keep up with all of them or afford to buy a lot of them, but I want to mention several just now in passing in case you want to get them or get them from the library. A World Watchers subscriber sent me a book on Mel Weinberg, a fabulous book called The Sting Man. It's a paperback. You can get it. It's about the CIA and the government agent and the Red Brigades in Italy and setting up terrorists. And it's just a fascinating book of our era. Be sure and look for it. As I say, it's just a paperback. There's a review of a new book, The End of the World by Otto Friedrich. And the end, this is a subject of crises that come in the world, things that people are afraid about, afraid of happening. And it talks about seven of the major crises in the world. But the reviewer says, and the author says, perhaps the saddest chapter in this book in human history deals with the Inquisition and Crusades. And that's what I'm going to spend the next half hour on, is the Inquisition and the Crusades, because that's where we're going. And he said, it's painful to think that evil deeds can be perpetuated in the name of a heavenly vision. Pope Innocent III seemingly came not to bring peace but a sword. He launched the Fourth Crusade against Muslims and ruthlessly purged the heretics in massacres during the Inquisition. Again, you know, the conditions of setting up a government in Lebanon was that they have a Catholic leader. So Gamaliel and the family are Catholic, and Mr. Habib, incidentally, is Catholic. And this review says they waged a mad campaign to root out the sons of perdition. And the sad part is that the people under the name of religion allowed the Crusades and the Inquisition to take place. And that was one of the calamities, one of the seven calamities of the world organized by the church. Another referred to a bubonic plague that killed 25 million people in Europe. And in the book, he mentions how in seeing Ronald Reagan when he was interviewed in at his ranch nearby in Santa Barbara, there were some animals that had a bubonic, they thought could spread bubonic plague. And they asked Ronald Reagan about it, and he dodged the reporters with questions, and he responded, this is a direct quotation, "Nancy was having a fine time." So the book review says it's kind of cruel to end with Nancy having a fine time, but the point is you can't rely on your elected officials or your manipulated candidates to look out for you. They take it flippantly, they take it funny, but the point is that the struggle going on with Banco Ambrosiano, with the Vatican, is a direct intent to bring you, and I've mentioned this before publicly, when I speak, back to the Inquisition in the Middle Ages with the belief that you don't have the right to decide for yourself. Another book, The Silver Baron, it's about Bunker Hunt, the Bilderbergers, the trilateral puppets, spectacular profits made at our expense. This book is limited, $12 a copy. If you get it now, it'll be $20, $24.95 later. And if you want the sheet that accompanies this broadcast, or if you have a pencil, box 39820, Phoenix, Arizona, 85069, or call me, or I'll give you the bibliography of this program. You can get it now for $12.95. It'll be $24.95. It's called The Silver Baron. And another book, there's so many, but I'll just mention four quickly. There's a book called The Chosen Instrument, Pan American Airlines One Trip. And this is a book about the power of One Trip, how Pan Am was built. And this book is not favorable to Mr. Tripp. It's about the power that he accumulated in his airline and built himself up so he would have a monopoly of the air routes. And you remember when Air Florida went down last year in the river at the Potomac, and I outlined on the radio the sabotage of that plane, trying to break Air Florida, give the monopoly of the airlines to Western Airline, and Pan Am took over Braniff. There was a conflict of the major airlines and American Airline playing dirty tricks. Investigation was covered up to give the routes of Braniff to Pan Am so they would have monopoly of every country in South America. And whoa, be careful if one airline has every single country in South America, including the Antarctic and so forth. Now, last week I mentioned just briefly the article in the Wall Street Journal by its a reference or interview with Carlo Calvi, the son of Roberto Calvi, who was found dead last June in London, and that seems a long time away, but it wasn't. And in this particular interview, he said that his father, the murder of his father, I'll give you the direct quotation, "The murder of my father was caused by a backdrop of a complicated power struggle within the Vatican. Roberto Calvi, his father, had close financial dealings with the Vatican. He tried to keep it at a business level. He stayed away from the policy questions facing the church. It was strictly business. Then the relationship became politicized because the people putting the money into the church, the multinationals, it turns out, want to make the decisions for the church. The Vatican had large holdings in Banco Ambrosiano," Carlos said, "and they were on the verge of completing an arrangement that would have reduced the Vatican Bank's holdings in that Banco Ambrosiano and the debt of 250 to 400 million plus 1.4 billion. That debt would be assumed by the Opus Dei. Opus Dei is a well-financed Roman Catholic lay organization based in Spain, politically and religiously conservative, from many heads of states of Europe, the top financial leaders. The controversial arrangement of Opus Dei, assuming Vatican debts, would be controversial with the Vatican because Opus Dei would have sought clout within the Vatican in return for assuming the debts." Those are direct quotations. Translated, it means the Vatican is broke. Opus Dei, the medieval feudal-minded, wealthy lay business people, would dictate to the Pope, present or future, the policies they would demand in order to maintain their profits. They would select cardinals and archbishops and priests, the lay organization, because they had assumed the debts of the Vatican. Now, Opus Dei is described in a New York Times article that I'm going to share with you, and also by Jonathan Marshall, who writes for Inquiry Magazine and who is coming out soon to work for the San Jose Mercury. I talked with him today. He's one of our really great researchers and has a great newsletter. And he just did a 20-page article on the importance of secret societies, the Round Table in England, the Council of Foreign Relations in the United States, the Opus Dei or D in Spain that also has offices in Rome, the Masonic Lodge in Italy. And he lists some of these very important organizations, all Catholic. In France, the Sovereign Military Order of the Templar of Jerusalem, the Temple of Jerusalem. And in the United States, the Catholic Order of the Carmelites, the Synod of Bishops of the Russian Orthodox Church outside Russia. And in the United States, the Sovereign Military Order of the Temple of Jerusalem with headquarters in Pennsylvania. Now, those are the secret societies that seem to have the clout in this country and have the top officials of our Pentagon, such as James Angleton and John McCone, Reinhard Galen, and it's a who's who of the CIA and directors are members of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta or the Opus Dei or both. And I'll do more of this newsletter with you. But I want to share with you the outline I did of an article. It was in the New York Times specifically on the Opus Dei to show you how it affects our lives, yours and mine. Even though I'm not a Catholic, and many of you may not be Catholic, it affects all of us, because when a handful of business people and heads of corporations dictate to anything as vast as the Vatican what the Pope can say or think, then all the masses in El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Chile, Argentina, Peru, all over the world become liquidated as in the Inquisition, as heretics. Humanists have to be wiped out, anything that isn't strictly according to their orders. And if the Pope gives the order, it goes on down. And there are more Catholics in the world than any other religion. But if a Protestant wants to help a Catholic priest, just if you're in a country where a priest is shot and you help, you're gunned down too. And you end with a world safe for the Crusades and the Inquisition. Now, the New York Times, February 14th, 1982, has an article by Paul Hoffman, "The Showdown for the Jesuits." And this is very important because the man cracking down on religious freedom within the Catholic Church, Mr. Cardinal Casseroli, just met with Ronald Reagan in Boston a few weeks ago, and he's come up with the idea that the Catholic Church should replace the United Nations, that it is appropriate mediator for all international issues. This was in New Solidarity, August 9th, 1982. Cardinal Casaroli, the Vatican Secretary of State, on his recent trip, advanced the idea being made by Pope Paul II that the Vatican should be the decision maker for all nations. I don't know how that grabs you, but we'll go more into this. Now, in February of this year, in 1982, in the Villa Cavaletti, the head of the Vatican and the Catholic Church met. And the purpose of this meeting, they were aware that the pontiff of Pope Paul II was dissatisfied with the direction that his Jesuits have gone. Some Jesuits are very conservative, and some were turning liberal and sympathetic to the masses and trying to follow the preachings of Jesus himself. And that isn't grabbing the pontiff very well. The article says there was a determination to bring wavering members in with a conservative leadership. Now, I mentioned before the Pope was shot because he wasn't more conservative. He was shot by a far right wing working with the neo-Nazis and the Grey Wolves. And money had been drained out of this country, out of Italy and the Vatican, billions of dollars of debts, dummy fronts, and now this group wants to control the Pope, and the Pope wants to control the people through a more conservative group than the Jesuits. So the purpose was, it's called Showdown for the Jesuits. And Paul often said many Jesuits feel that their influence is threatened by certain areas by the Sacerdotal Society of the Holy Cross. Now the conflict is between the Society of the Holy Cross, which is the Jesuits, and the Sacerdotal Society of the Holy Cross, which is the Opus Dei, translated means God's work. The fast-growing, highly conservative lay organization known to have special favor with the Pope. Now, this Pope, I've said before, worked at Auschwitz. He worked for I.G. Farben. He came to be the protege of Montini, Pope Paul VI, and he has a lot of clout, and he favors the Opus Dei. He was close to them long before he became this Pope. There is a battle, I'm reading from this article, outlined it for you. There's a battle between the Jesuits, which they refer to as the Company, and between their Society of the Holy Cross and the Opus Dei, the Sacerdotal Society of the Holy Cross. The present predicament between the groups is deepened by Pope John Paul's interest in the Opus Dei. He is interested in them and not in the liberal Jesuits. This organization was formed in 1928 by Reverend Father Jose Maria Escriva de Balaguer in Madrid, Spain. And Madrid, Spain is where Otto Skorzeny set up the network with Martin Bormann for the Fourth Reich, for World War III, and the resurrection of the Hitler regime after a certain time period overlaps. The headquarters are in Spain, and they're motivated to counteract what they consider anti-clerical trends in Spanish society. When the Russian Revolution took place, the Vatican and the heads of states and the monarchies were worried about their position, and they formed this organization that would give muscle to the Vatican to order people to shape up if they wanted to belong to labor unions or be socialists. The Vatican would order them to stay in line with what the Vatican desires. 1 year after they were formed, they were formed in 1928. In 1929, Benito Mussolini gave $83 million to the Vatican in order to make sure that they didn't interfere with the edicts of the business people and that they proceeded with what you know later was history of World War II and fascism. The Holy See, the Institute for Religious Work, used this money for real estate and investments, and that's where it got into the hands of Michael Sindona and Roberta Calvi, the $89 million. Now, the reason for the enmity today between the Jesuits and the other group is that prominent Jesuits now are thinking for themselves, according to the New York Times. They are the avant-garde of Roman Catholic thinking versus the Opus Dei, which represents bedrock orthodoxy. So the struggle and antagonism is going on since the 50s or 60s, and all the heads of the Spanish government and cabinet members, 10 out of 19, are members of the Opus Dei when Franco was there, and they are advisors to Juan Carlos and the throne at the present time, advising them on what to do. In October 1981, an event took place to the disquiet of the church, according to this article by Paul Hoffman. Mr. Casaroli, that's the fellow who wants to replace the United Nations with the Vatican being the moderator of what goes on. He's the Secretary of State to the Pope. He called a meeting which took place the following February that I'm referring to. And he took Reverend Pedro de Arupe Gondra. You may not remember that name, but he's the head of the Jesuit Society. And they called him and they said, for the first time in 442 years, we're taking the power away from the Jesuits to make decisions, that we're going to put a czar, a commissar, over the Jesuits. Now, many people are afraid of the Catholic Jesuits, that they are far right-wing and part of conspiracies, etc. But the Opus Dei, the lay people said, even though you take a vow to obey the Pope, a letter was delivered by Mr. Casseroli to the head of the Jesuits. He's 74 years old and the second most powerful figure in Roman Catholicism, not as a lay person, but under the Pope. Incidentally, he's called the Black Pope, and he dresses in a black cassock of his order, and he has to wear black, and the Pope wears white. It's a segregated religion. The second man wears black, and the boss wears white. And John Paul sent a letter to the Jesuit order and the head of this order, Father Arupe, and said he was going to be removed so that the Opus Dei, the lay people, the bankers, the royalty that have been deposed, the multinationals, the dope dealers, the mobsters, the heroin traffickers who've accumulated large amounts of millions and billions through the world, sifting that money, the Gambino family, the Genoveses with the Vatican Bank, these people would dictate to the Pope, and the Pope would dictate to the Jesuit, and no longer could the Jesuits have their own opinions. Now, in the 452-year history, as I said, of this elite order, nothing like this has ever happened. They're afraid of some left-wing Jesuits. Some are conservative. In the United States, there's 5,757 of them. The Jesuits, for four centuries, the Society of Jesus, were always trusted to the Pope. They never went out on their own anyway. So the question was, why does the Opus Dei get afraid of them now? Because they're breaking with this very conservative Pope who would get us into World War III, who's turning his back on this killing of priests in South America, Central America, the prosecution of people. Well, no courts or prosecutions. They're simply carted away, the thousands of missing people, and gunning down those who are speaking up against the few people that want to control the lands or the businesses in these countries. Now, poor Mr. Arupe, the head of the Jesuits, he had a brain hemorrhage this last year after this happened. They're trying to take his power away anyway, and it's a wonder that maybe he should have died and maybe he can't make decisions. But just at the time that all this was going on, he had a brain hemorrhage. It's enough to give you one. Now, the article says it was startling that they sent a letter to him because he's been loyal to the pontiff. They've had a special vow of obedience to the church. And the edict that Pope Paul set down, and this was Bontini, later Pope Paul VI, Bontini, in 1973, he was directing to Father Arupe to express his desire to demand that the Jesuits remain loyal to the papacy. That was Pope Paul VI, and John Paul II was his protege. Now, at this time in 1973, when Montini was ordering this, was just the time when Paul Marcinkus, according to the Wall Street Journal of August the 11th, 1982, was allowing counterfeit stocks from Coca-Cola, Pan American, Chrysler, American Telephone and Telegraph to be made counterfeit to the benefit of the Vatican. There was $950 million of U.S. stocks that were being counterfeited, and Paul Marcinkus, under investigation now, the treasurer of the Vatican, wanted $150 million kickback. This is the Wall Street Journal. There'll be a new book coming out about this, but the point is this: why should any person, or the Catholics, the average person who's well-meaning and religious in the real religious sense, take orders from these people who are assassinating, who are wanted on murder charges, who are murdering the witnesses, who are dealing with the crime syndicate families, who are counterfeiting stock, who have dummy fronts, offshore banking in Nassau, Panama, Luxembourg, Liechtenstein, Peru, you name it? Why should a lay organization literally dominate the entire Vatican? Well, there's a parallel in this country. It's the National Security Council that gives orders to the president and the Congress so that the elected and the judicial and the executive don't even exist. our officials take orders. It's not the Opus Dei, it's the National Security Council and the Pentagon. In the Vatican, it would be the Opus Dei, which is the same business multinationals that run our country. As I say, the same assassins, the same dope dealers. Now, the Jesuits was founded 400 years ago to defend the Catholic Church, he describes in this order, and a demand from the reigning pontiff that they agree with the Pope has a special irony because they were always loyal. Now, members of our CIA that are part of the Vatican super secret sovereign military order of Malta that I've done several broadcasts on include Vernon Walters, our roving ambassador for fascism in many major countries, and a special envoy for Morocco at the present time. J. Peter Grace with his partner, Otto Ambrose, who designed the Zyklon B for Auschwitz extermination. General Alexander Haig, William Clark, our national security advisor. James Angleton of the CIA, Robert Albanap from down the Bahamas area, who was the man that kept fixing Richard Nixon up when he needed support for what he was doing. William Buckley, written up very nicely by Don Fried in his book on the murder on Embassy Row, and James Buckley. John McCone, who was from Bechtel McCone, who became head of the Atomic Energy Commission. These are all Opus Dei, Sovereign Military Order of Malta, hierarchy from the multinational corporations. Baron Hilton from the Hilton Hotel, Reinhard Galen, who set up our CIA, who was Hitler's chief of intelligence. Nicholas Brady from Dillon Reed, who took over the seat of Senator Williams at the time of the Abscam story. There's a who's who, Caspar Weinberger. All of these men are part of this secret society organization that is pushing even the Jesuits to move over and take orders from us. Angleton, Ablanap, Richard Allen, Mr. Bellinger that set up the Bilderberg Society. It's a who's who, the Peter Flanagan of the White House. Lee Iacocca of Ford and Chrysler, he's a member of this group and organization. And it was Chrysler securities and stocks are being forged by the Vatican so they could use it, $950 million worth of security. He wasn't at Chrysler at the time, then he was at Ford. He just went over to Chrysler. Well, this article, Showdown for the Jesuits, refers to the Jesuits as the company. Now, every man I mentioned on that list of this particular group is in the CIA, and the CIA calls itself the company, and every head of our CIA is also part of the Opus Dei and the Jesuits. If that doesn't scare you a little bit, I think it should. They have referred to themselves, and I didn't know that the Jesuits called themselves the company, but Paul Hoffman refers to that, and when our OSS became the CIA, it took the name the company, and that year Reinhard Galen, or a year before, was knighted by the Vatican, and William Buckley of the CIA, and these names that I'm mentioning, like Elmer Bobst and so forth, all also have a direct connection to Permandex, to Credit Suisse, to the murder of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Alexander Haig is part of this. They all are a close-knit group that seems to be centered into the Vatican, the Order of Malta, the Secret Order, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, and the Opus Dei. So that the last fragments of any liberal opinion of members of our establishment, whether a member of Congress was forced to resign because of the Pope, because he wanted Richard Nixon, he was part of the impeachment proceedings. They can't hold overt opinions different than what is ordered down. And it was really cute to get the Vatican so much in debt of $300 to $400 million plus $1.4 billion, and then say, okay, we'll assume your debts if you let us take over the thinking of the Vatican. And this is what Carlo Calvi said. It was in the Wall Street Journal why his father was murdered, because he could invest money for the Vatican, but he couldn't get into the politics of the Vatican. And the way you raise money for churches is by the business people. So the business people want to run a religious institution for their own purposes. Now, there is in the same article, it says there's talk that Opus Dei wants to take over the Vatican radio from the Jesuits. They run the radio station. It's the largest antenna in the world, and Opus Dei wants it, and they're offering money. This was last February to take over the radio station. He says the conflict of the popes and Jesuits. There is talk in Rome that Jesuits, some may have to leave the order. They can't stomach going on. If one half of all of the Jesuits have to leave the order, it would be better than the present confusion and distrust. So they're forcing them to leave and drop out of religion, just as the Barragans dropped out of the church and became lay people. They're forcing to leave the church so the church doesn't have to deal with them or look at them. Pope Paul II made it clear who is boss. This is at that February meeting this last year. He is the boss also of the Jesuits, and they referred to a representative, Peter Hebblewaith, former editor of the British Jesuit magazine called The Month, and he's becoming an aide to Pope Paul. He was a scathing critic, an aide to Pope Paul VI, and the Roman Curia in general, and now he left the order because he couldn't stand it. And he's one of those who publishes articles, but like the Barragans, left the church. Now, Montini, Secretary Montini, the mentor of Pope Paul VI, in 1974, started cracking down on the liberals. That's before this pope came in. He said there's tendencies of an intellectual and disciplinary nature that exist that, if they're encouraged, would introduce serious and perhaps incurable changes in you Jesuits. And we can't change the essential struggle. So as people got enlightened and allegedly walked on the moon and made many scientific discoveries, the belief even that people could get along or coexist with China or Russia or stop manufacturing bombs or maybe loving each other is an impossibility, because what they want to do is go back to the strict structure of the church. And Opus Dei ran a paper down in Chile that was part of the destabilizing of Allende, when Allende was murdered and made the country safe for Nazis and Pinochet and torture and Colonia Dignidad and the horrors that went on in Chile. And they also, I think I mentioned last week, were involved with the Bund Corporation that was behind, it's written up in the Were We Control, that was behind a part of the murder of the Kennedy brothers, the orders that came out of Argentina. In conclusion to this article, in 1956, Father Arrupe, when elected the head of the Jesuits, had a reputation as a liberal. He wanted to help the poor, he wanted to help the underprivileged, and change with the times. He visited almost every country in the world and the United States, and he had an understanding for Reverend Daniel Barragan and visited the anti-war Jesuit in a federal prison. Now the Jesuits are leaving the order. Europe, Netherlands, South America, Central America, and the United States. In 1773, Pope Clement XIV cleaned out and disbanded the Jesuits because he thought they were diverting from the way they wanted the Roman Church to be run. They caused too much dissension in meddling affairs and in secular power. In 1814, the order survived in Tsarist Russia, and the Jesuits began a new start. In 1982, the Opus Dei is taking control of the Jesuits, orchestrating their traditional turf. And incidentally, there are some articles that came out of London that I've written for and I don't have yet, with pictures of the flagellation instruments, the instruments of pain that they recommend. The Jesuits have, it's called the discipline of mortification. And they are stringent, they're very stringent. And the Times of London in 1981 ran an article on self-inflicted ways of having mortification. And they had pictures of instruments that the Opus Dei is selling or presenting to you that you should use if you're a good Catholic. You get out your instruments of mortification and you just have a ball. You know, that's so much fun. Going back to the Middle Ages and back to the feudal systems. Now, in this article, he also says that there is a church mafia, the Opus Dei. Many ominous things were said in the past. Now they're being said about the Opus Dei. They call it the Holy Mafia. There's intrigue, there's infiltration, there's plots. Well, as I say, Mr. Marcinkus has 10 dummy friends down in Panama. He won't tell where the money went, who used it, and there was an article in the Wall Street Journal suggesting that they filtered money to Solidarity to cause an upsurge in revolution and a provocation in Poland. And they had other suggestions of where the money went, and I'll do more on it next week. But the problem, and this article was written in February 1981, is that they're into a situation like the mafia and mysterious monies and mysterious bosses. And then in 1 minute, I can summarize by saying we make a full circle. that I talked about, the Steve Sagan's book. You have the military, you have the mafia, you have the church at the worst, and written up in that new book about the crisis in the world and the horror. One of the seven worst things in the world were the Crusades and the Inquisition, brought on by the church. So we have a full cycle going today that we had back in the 14th century and on through the years, and they want to push us back there, push our thinking there. Jew, Gentile, Catholic, this isn't an anti-Catholic commentary. This was from the New York Times, and it was for all of you to see and read, and for everyone in this country or in this world. Well, we've covered a lot in this hour. I'll be back with you next week, and keep reading and sending me books and articles, and buy them for yourself and keep up with what's going on. In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel, and this is KAZU in Pacific Grove in California.